What an appropriate series this has become. I'm sure glad the Lord understands the things that we are walking through, don't you? He just knows exactly what we need. And so I want to remind you that the encouragement, this is the definition of encouragement, to give courage and confidence in God. May I restate it a different way? Encouragement gives courage and confidence in God that we may trust Him, that we may trust God in times when we don't know what's going on. And I want you to think about the last week, and I'm not going to camp on this by any means today, but I want you to think about it, about how much fear and uncertainty is spreading across our country, across our communities. And, it seems to me as though fear and uncertainty are spreading more rapidly than the virus itself. And I think to myself, that would be consistent with fear. Fear just has a tendency to move among people, and we all hear it, we wonder about it, we think about all the what-ifs. And I'm not going to address this till later in the service, but we will talk a little bit about what we possibly can do about this. But I want you to focus on the idea that God is a God who wants us to trust Him. This is an evidence of faith right here. This is what faith is, to trust God with our lives when we can't see what's going to happen. Uncertainty comes out of not being able to understand or see what's going to take place. But God says, I want you to trust me when you can't even see what's going to happen. And so that's why encouragement is so important for us. Because we're in this kind of uncertain times right here. Had someone talk with me yesterday. We were just, I don't remember where I was. I think I was in the grocery store just for a brief 1 minute. And somebody said, I can't believe all the toilet paper's gone. Don't they realize that this is a respiratory virus, not a gastrointestinal virus? It's kind of like we lose all common sense, don't we? But we fear this. We fear this virus. And it's kind of like, I'm not commenting one bit about that, okay, right now. But I want you to understand that God is not a God of fear. He's a God of faith. He is in this to bring encouragement to us. He's involved in this. I don't know why this is happening. I know that there are people that have said this is just evidence of the second coming of the Lord, and that could very well be, okay? Who knows? If you have better insight into that than I do, I would love to hear it. But we don't know. We just know that God is calling each one of us to trust Him. And so today we're going to be talking about encouragement through people. We've talked about encouragement that comes from God. God is a source of our encouragement. He's the source of faith in our lives. We talked about how the Word of God gives us promises that encourage us to trust Him. And I just want you to think about this a minute. Think about what the Word of God says about the past. So if God is a faithful God, He's trustworthy. And would you all say that God has been faithful in your past? Yes, absolutely. Okay? You can look back and you say, yeah, this happened, and then God took care of this, and this happened, and God took care of that. So I look at the past, and then I look at the present today, and I see the fear and uncertainty that's here, and I say, so is the God of the past the God of my present? Well, since He never changes, the same God that was in the past is also in the present today. And so if He took care of me there, He says He'll take care of me here. And so that portrays into the future. So if the God of the present is the same God of the past, then the God of the future is the God who's going to take care of you no matter what. And so as we look at these things, understand that the Word of God is addressing all these issues, how we're to respond to these things. And He also addresses it through people. So there's a verse in Isaiah 41:10, and I just want you to maybe put this one in your, write it down someplace, because it's a great verse for the times we live in. Do not fear. Would you say this with me? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is His governing hand. His righteous right hand. This is where He governs from. This is who He is. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will take care of you. Does that mean that some of us wouldn't get sick? That's not what He said. He says, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. And so we need not fear. So, but the concept of encouragement by people is the fact that it's all of our responsibilities. And so this really comes, I think, at a great time because we start to understand that it's my responsibility to bring courage and confidence about God in our lives to the people that I'm around. That's my responsibility. That's what it says. So encourage one another as you build each other up, just as you are already doing. Now, the word there, encourage. So encourage one another is not just a suggestion, okay? It's not a suggestion. It's an imperative in the Greek voice right there, which means to us it's a command. It's a statement of, I expect you to do this. As a Christian, I expect you to do this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I expect you to bring courage and confidence in who God is in our lives. And so every one of us in here has just been given a charge by God to encourage the people that are around us. And notice he says, and also build one another up. So we're not supposed to pull each other down. We're supposed to encourage, bring each other up to a higher level. As I've often taught you, when there is one word that says the same thing, there's another one. And when it's repeated, you need to understand that it's important. So this is in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, which is just one chapter before the one we just read. And it says, so encourage each other with these words. Same tense, same command, it's repeated. He's saying, this is important. Every believer is charged with encouraging other people with confidence and courage in God. That's our job, to encourage people. Now, it's interesting that these words that he's speaking of here are the words out of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's about, first of all, in chapter 4, it's about the rapture of the church, where the church is caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and then we'll be with him forever after that point. And so we are to encourage one another that whether our ancestors, the people who have lived with us, who have died and gone before, who knew Lord Jesus, they've already gone to be with him, and they're coming back with him. And when he comes again to get us, we will meet him and them in the air, and so forever be with him, forever be with Jesus Christ. That's better than the coronavirus. That's the place I want to go. But he's not here yet. And so we encourage one another. We lift each other up. In Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians 5, it's talking about the same thing, about the second coming of Christ, that we are not to be the ones who are surprised at the events that are happening around us. Folks, God has already told us that there are going to be events like this happen in our lifetime around us. Should we not be surprised that this is happening? So it's an opportunity for us to encourage one another and to encourage those who are not believers to say, why are you afraid? Do you not know where you're going to go? Do you not have any idea what's going to happen if you die? Well, maybe it's a good time to talk about that. And some people will say, I don't want to hear it. And other people may say, you know what? Could you tell me more? And so it is a great opportunity. We are to encourage each other through God's comfort. We've already read this verse before, which says this, God is our merciful Heavenly Father, the source of all comfort. There it is. He's the source of our comfort. He's the source of our encouragement. And he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When we struggle, when we have trials in our lives, we are given them so that we can be an encouragement to those who also are going to run through the same type of problem. Have you been sick lately? Okay. Well, if you have been sick, maybe that's because then you need to be a comfort to somebody else who's been sick or is sick. Have you been struggling with emotions lately and God has helped you with that? Well, then you need to be an encouragement to those who are struggling with their emotions. That's what it's saying. As we receive comfort from God, we're to give it to those who are in need around us. That's our job. This is one of the ways that we encourage people, is through the way that we have been encouraged. We also encourage by using the gifts that God has given us. Now, it's interesting that of all the gifts that are given, one of those gifts is the gift of encouragement. This is the gift right here in Romans 12:8. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. So evidently, there were people who had the gift of encouragement who were not encouraging. And he's saying, if you're an encourager, be an encourager, if that's what God has given you. Now, this word also can mean exhortation. So we've talked about this, the idea that an exhorter is kind of a black and white person. They just see things black and white, and they say, you know what? The government said we're supposed to do this, and we should do that. Okay? Well, so if your gift is an exhortation, you need to do exhortation also. May I say to the youth who are exhorters, be kind to us who are not. Okay? Because some of us don't see things quite that way. And so, but do exhort us. Exhort us to stay on track with what you're doing. And so if you have the gift of exhortation or the gift of encouragement, you've got a special capacity to encourage people. It's special. It's not like everybody else. It's something that you just love to do. So I encourage you, continue to use the gift that God has given to you. And we are encouraged by our gathering together. Hebrews 10:29 says, let us think of ways to motivate each other to love and good deeds. Now, may I comment about that word motivate? In this newer translations, that's what it says. In older translations, it says to spur. I actually like the word spur better. You know, that's what cowboys wear on their heels, spurs. Okay? And they use it for one reason only, and that is to get the attention of the horse, to get the horse moving in the way that they want to go. Okay? So we need to have people in our lives who spur us on. Sometimes we don't like to hear what's going on in our lives, and sometimes we need people to spur us on, to motivate us to love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now as the day of his return is drawing near. Now, I will say that the last time I preached on this, today we are days closer to when he's going to come. So he's going to come. The question is, will we neglect our meeting together? Now, this is kind of a tough one, considering what a lot of our governments are now telling us about the coronavirus. They're saying, well, you shouldn't meet if you're over 250. Well, we're not over 250, not yet. Okay? We will be having a conversation as a council this week on Thursday to talk about what we're going to do as a church related to the coronavirus. And we will do our best not to abandon this idea right here within the confines of what our government of Iowa tells us to do, okay, for the sake of the people that are here. Now, I will say this to you. If you are an older person and you have respiratory problems, so I'll just use my father as an example. My dad is in the hospital today. He has COPD, and he has a bad heart valve, and those two things are really nasty things together because that means that you can't breathe. So he has respiratory problems. He is prime candidate for this virus, okay? He is. He's a prime candidate. If it hit him, he would probably die. And so my suggestion to him and to my mom is going to be this. Stay home. Stay home. Quarantine yourself at home. Just stay out of the traffic of everybody for the time being, okay? And we pray and hope that the Lord will sustain you, okay? So if you're in that category, make up your own mind what you're going to do. And if you stay home, we'll try our best to get the information, the worship service to you, however we can do it. We don't know how that is yet, but we'll do it. If you are not in the age group and you're not concerned about it, you know, I'm hoping that we can meet, all right? I'm hoping we can continue to meet. If we can't, we'll figure out a way to get it to you. Because we encourage one another by our meeting together. We do. Now, some of you today will say, well, I don't want to shake your hand. Fine. If you don't want to shake somebody's hand, it's not an offense to anybody in this room, okay? If you want to shake a hand, shake a hand. It's up to you, all right? My encouragement, if you're a handshaker, wash your hands. Please. Everybody else would appreciate it as well, okay? So wash your hands really well. We have the other hand sanitizers around the building, so use that stuff as you need to. But use the common sense that they're already telling us. But as we look at this, we encourage each other by gathering together. It is important that we get together, all right? And if it comes down to it, we may say, well, we're going to set up a little house churches all around the area. And if you are not a part of a house church, you go to this location. If you're in this area, this is where it's going to meet. And we'll try to keep those in that 20 to 25 amount. And we'll somehow get the message into each one of those locations if we can. I don't know if that's going to be possible. Maybe each one of you will have to bring the message to your group. Well, that would be great too, wouldn't it? To hear someone else just share a thought from the Lord like the first church used to do. Because the first church never really met like this. They met in homes, small groups. but they didn't abandon their meeting together. So we encourage one another by gathering together, but we also encourage one another by our presence and our words. This is where we all can really pick this thing up, because it's in our presence. So when you're called to go talk to somebody or meet with them or be in their presence, that's where it's at. You know, we have our children live a long ways away from us, and so we often will FaceTime with them. Now, FaceTime is one step up from a phone call, but a FaceTime is not presence. Okay? It's not. Okay? When I'm FaceTiming them, that's as good as I can get right now, but it's not like being in their presence. I can't grab onto my grandson and hug him. I can't give my daughter-in-laws a hug and, you know, tell them how much I love them. I can tell them, but it's not the same, okay? So your physical presence with somebody is really, really important. And this is what it says in Acts 11:23. This is related to a man by the name of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. In other words, he had the gift of encouragement, and his name said it. When he, Barnabas, arrived at a church in Antioch of Syria, and he saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. So it was his presence. The church in Jerusalem sent him to the church in Antioch of Syria, which probably a 3 or 4 days walk north out of Israel. And they sent him up there because there were new believers that had been talked about who were in that particular town in Antioch of Syria. And so he went there, he gathered with them. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of God's blessing. He saw God's presence among them. The evidence of the Holy Spirit was there, and he was filled with joy. It made him happy because he was there with them. He was face-to-face with them. And so then in face-to-face, he encouraged them to stay true to the Lord. He gave them confidence and courage in the Lord. So it was with his words, but it was also with his physical presence. Now, we see this as the pattern of the New Testament, because oftentimes Paul would send one of his assistants to go with to these places. So here it says, Tychicus will give you the full report about how I am getting along. Tychicus is one of the men that traveled with Paul. And he's supposed to give the report about what's happening in Paul's life. Paul says, he is a beloved brother and a faithful helper who serves me with the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you, to increase your confidence and courage in what God is doing among you and in my life. It was his physical presence that was necessary. And you could say, well, they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have mail at that time and they needed to send somebody. Well, that's true, okay? They were in the first century, and they probably didn't have those things. And so it took a person to go. But you know what? They knew some things that we don't know, and that is that cell phones and mail are not the same as an in-person, face-to-face contact. So especially when we think about what's happening to our country right now and this idea of social distance, okay? I understand why we need it, but I also understand how damaging it can be to communities. Because when you distance yourself from people, you become isolated, and isolation breeds discouragement and depression. And so we need to be careful of this. We need to understand that we need to have physical presence in people's lives. So if God tells you to go talk to somebody, I want to encourage you. It's your responsibility. God told you to do that. So go talk to that person. Get with them in their physical presence, and encourage them to have courage and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see the same thing is said about a man by the name of Onesimus in Colossians. It says, I'm sending Onesimus, a faithful, beloved brother, one of your own people, and he and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happened here. He also is going on the encouragement side. And then we see it also about Timothy. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We send him to strengthen you and to encourage you in your faith, to strengthen, to build you up, and to give you courage and confidence in who God is, and he's caring for you. He'll not leave you alone. He will abide by, he will care for you at all times. So God is, through the presence and the words of these men, is giving us the example that it is important that we have a presence with one another. Whether we gather together or we can't gather together, we can still have a presence. God is in the business of encouraging us through people. That's what he's doing. And in light of all the things that we're facing in our community these days, okay, we want you to understand that God is with you. You do not need to fear. Fear is an agent of the enemy. Faith is the source that comes from Jesus Christ himself. He asks us to trust him with all things, including this. And this is not a surprise that this is coming to God. He had already understood this. He knows the outcome of this. In fact, there's no uncertainty in the heavenly kingdom right now. No uncertainty whatsoever. They know exactly what's going on. So if he knows, then I just need to communicate with him and say, Lord, would you show me what to do this day? And whatever happens to me, may it be to your glory, and may I encourage the people around me at all times to look up to you, and if they don't know you, to give them an opportunity to say, would you like to know, if you were to die today, where you would go? It's a great opportunity, probably one of the greatest we've had in a long time. People are sensitive to the things that are going to be spiritual, because when it starts to come, it's going to be here. So we need to be an encouragement, and I encourage you to be an encouragement as a person to a person. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you that you are a God of encouragement, that you call us to trust you, to place our courage and our confidence in you. Lord, I know that you can take care of us. You can take care of us without the virus, and you can take care of us if we get the virus. You can take care of us beyond the virus. Lord, we just need to know that you are not surprised and you are not uncertain, and that you have said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Lord God, you are our God, and we trust you. We just ask that you would meet us, and within our very souls, your Holy Spirit would settle our fears. Lord, you have said that to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Lord, this morning, we lay before you the concerns and the worries we have about the people we know, about the fear of contracting whatever it is that we can contract. Lord, we just lay that before you, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to trust you. Father, I pray that your peace that passes all understanding would be given to every person who thanks you and lays this issue before you. Father, may we do it continually throughout this next week. May your hand be upon us. May you protect us. May you watch over us. In the name of Jesus, we pray.